Greetings, podcast listeners. Welcome back. This is your host, Indra, with Aikido Talks. Today, special edition Saturday, we're going to just take a break for a second and go back to the book by Morihei Ueshiba Budo, Teachings of the Founder of Aikido. And it's a part of a section, and I'm going to read from Hand Techniques in the paperback, page 35. But before I do, this kind of motivated me to find a little kernel of information about Aikido training. And I was approached, or it was mentioned to me by a parent of her young person who was training Aikido. And I've been getting these stories, you know, throughout Aikido for in the past years. Stories come up every so often about what happens to a young person when they actually do an Aikido technique, and it just comes out of them naturally from their practice. And it comes out of a response. It's a response to someone approaching them one way, or, you know, maybe an intention or the speed, you know, of grabbing or touching them in a certain way. And they turn around and they do a technique that ends up being successful. And you might say maybe too successful, because the person who is, however it is, whatever the intention is, the person who doesn't take Aikido, the young person, ends up falling somehow, awkwardly, getting slightly injured, what have you. And by design, and those of us who take Aikido understand this, you know, it's a different martial art in that you may not feel the changes happening. It's not an instant, it's not like instant oatmeal that, okay, I got it, and then outside you just do the technique. It comes over a period of time of a synthesis, right? And, you know, I invite anyone to just sort of, you know, make a comment attached to this episode, what your thoughts are. But for my explanation, it's kind of mulling in my mind, and I'm trying to think that, you know, it's an automatic gesture. And in the section I'm about to read, Osensei mentions how one should train, and, you know, the feeling, and so that it's a natural phenomena, so that if anyone approaches you or into your mind, and you just happen to turn left or right or arms up or down, and because this is what we do on a regular basis in classes, that for us it becomes a natural thing to do, like eating and sleeping and breathing. So I say this to say that, speaking with the parent, they said, well, their child got in trouble, that they should have known better. And I also invite, you know, instructors who are listening to this podcast, you know, how do you deal with explaining, or how much do your parents know about Aikido and the effect it has from people who are practicing? You know, never mind that it may be calming and it's called the art of peace, but at the end of the day, it is a martial art, is it not? And with proper training and consistency over years, it becomes a part of a person. And there's something you can't stop until you're so advanced. And then that is something that we strive to. You know, we're always students. You know, we keep polishing and keep growing with the art. So it's never finished, the training. But as you move forward, you can notice certain things, and sometimes you cannot, especially if it's about time and speed. If someone comes to grab you and you're training as such, and you're truthful in your training, there's a consequence that comes out of it. And so what do we do about that? Well, I think one thing to tell young people is that if you are feeling that something's about to happen, then stop them in their tracks and say, listen, you know, I'm not here for horseplay, or, you know, don't do anything funny because I can't control it. This is one thing I thought about. And on the other hand is I'm still learning, but I'm not going to demonstrate it. You know, the only way that you want me, if someone wants to have you show them, they have to take a class, invite them to the school and take a class. But parents also can understand what exactly is happening and do some more investigation and ask questions about what it is about Aikido that can make it very special or even deadly or life-saving. And this is very important, I think, for them to know, because it's real, and you want to walk out of the school calm, cool, collected, and centered after a training, you know, having a good training, and then do the same coming back into the school. Without further ado, I will read the section and then relate it to this episode, this encounter that I had to talk to a parent about what is happening with the training that a young person goes through, or any Aikido practitioner. Okay, so I'm just going to go down. I'm going to skip a paragraph in Hand Techniques, page 35. All the bujutsu of Japan manifest the teachings of heaven and earth. For example, when one is surrounded by enemies attacking simultaneously with spears, one must look upon them as a single opponent and cut through the crowd with a steady mind. The ancients used pillars and trees as shields, but that is a mistake. Nor should we rely on others for protection. Our spirit is the true shield. When facing numerous opponents, draw out their attacks, enter directly, and turn behind their thrusting spears. By applying this principle, one can shatter the circle and escape to safe ground. When surrounded, apply the same principle, enter and turn, taking care not to break your own posture, and stymie your opponents. Learn the proper dimensions of the truth. Do not train in the ways of deceit, and do not violate the sacred trust that you have received from the gods. Each person is a miniature universe. Let's repeat that section again. Learn the proper dimensions of the truth. Do not train in the ways of deceit, and do not violate the sacred trust that you have received from the gods. Each person is a miniature universe. The practice of bujutsu is to defeat an opponent in this fashion. One must train so that such principles permeate one's body. I'm going to repeat this section again also. The practice of bujutsu is to defeat an opponent in this fashion. One must train so that such principles permeate one's body. When surrounded by a host of enemies, think of them as one. When facing a single foe, think of him as many, or her, or they. This is the best strategy. Learn how to use the one to strike the 10,000 without offering your opponent the slightest opening. Build Yamato Damashi like this, free of any slack in mind and body. Unify upper, middle, and lower. Truly enter, turn, and blend with your opponents, front and back, left and right. It is essential to foster such presence of mind continuously in regular training. And with this, we'll be right back. Thank you. we are right back. So I had to repeat that section that, you know, the thing is we are practicing Budo. So yes, it looks calm and peaceful, and whatever recommendation someone has to come to the art, the bottom line, it's a martial art. And upon further research, you know, one will understand that, and it comes even clearer once students learn weapons. And I suggest that everyone should be learning weapons. You don't have to be a superstar in it, but it's for further understanding. It's a natural progression to learn weapons in Aikido, because especially or primarily because Aikido is based on weapons. All the movements are, as we know, for those who are training. So in that little piece of excerpt, the whole thing about one must train so that such principles permeate one's body. It becomes a part of you. And so, for example, there's a student, whether they are bully or not, but they come and encounter another young person, and, you know, perhaps they're trying to try out a move, or they, you know, grab them in a particular way, like a hand or arm, or, you know, sort of thinking that they're playing. But the Aikido student, young person, will respond based on the training that they've been doing. Now, to tell the student, don't do that, or stop, or don't do that move, or to interrupt your thinking, it waters down, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, make a comment, communicate with me, that this will water down your training. On the mat, you're not to be thinking. You are synthesizing mind, body, and spirit, the movements. And it's to operate in a certain universe, as they mentioned that each person is a miniature universe. So there are multiple things that are happening. And there's another section in this book that talks about attacks from behind, which is designed to develop your sixth sense. And I suggest, for those who have young people in their school that they're teaching, that to engage with the parents who are not Aikidoists, to have little conversations or refer them to books to read more into what Aikido is, so that there is no discrepancy on what is actually happening with the training. And this will include a new way of dealing with the world around them, in school, in family settings, acquaintances, etc. And, you know, you just can't say, oh, don't, you know, let them touch you or let them do this or that, because that would not happen on the mat. You do a technique and you just go into it, you know. It doesn't work that way, because it's a training hall. The Aikido Dojo is a training hall. I liken it to a laboratory where you're working on things, but you're working in an upward motion of increasing the skill set of the talents. And so to keep everyone safe, it's really important that everyone is on the same page, I think, to understand and respect the techniques. And that's another thing they mentioned here as well. The way that people are to train, which brings me to mind a respect of the technique, you know, of course, to be positive, but to not come on the mat and contest. And that happens all the time, of course we do. And I've told people, and I've done it myself, you know, if you encounter that, because some things you just can't control, you can bow out and say, thanks, no thank you, thank you for training, and then choose somebody else, just walk away. It's no discussion. There's no time to interrupt that flow that we're receiving in choosing how we are being present in the practice. So anyway, I wanted to just say this. It was just heavy on my mind, and it comes up often. So I thought about it. And in conclusion of this episode, I believe that, especially for people who are not practicing, to explain to them in a very calm fashion, I says, well, with a martial art, from that premise, that you train in defense, you're defending oneself, but there are things that are natural to you. And it's also an extended conversation of maturity and respect for self and others on how people decide to communicate with each other, verbally, nonverbally, etc. And if people can't abide or to think, then it's for the practitioner in Budo, you are engaging in picking up with all of your senses and the six senses that are heightened to make quick decisions. And the decisions can be, as when you get into the deep text, can be no decisions. They are just, you just do. You just respond. You don't even think about it. And that's the level that you're at. You just respond, just like a fish in water. You breathe. You just breathe, because that's how you live. So with that, my dear friends, thank you again for tuning in. But yes, respond. And then maybe you could think about how you encounter, either if you're an instructor with your own dojo, and how do you deal with students, adult students, or all your students, and people who are not practitioners, but who are part of your community, and how you engage in explaining what it is, and what are the new things you're learning about Aikido that you can explain in profundity of exciting excitement and love for the world. You know, can you imagine if every single person took martial arts or Aikido? Because there's no competition but with self, and that people can choose to grow one way or the other. But this is a great opportunity, if it does come up in your area, in your circle, to explore explaining the details, the depths of Aikido. And how much more do we have to learn? I feel it's always endless. Anyway, thank you again, my dear friends. And I'm looking forward to the next episode to share more readings with you. Until next time.